No, as I have told it in detail. Once, Lord Krishna told Garuda, his carrier, the big eagle, bring Hanuman here, I want to see him. So Garuda flew to King Purushavas and told Hanuman, who was just doing an aarti, Krishna wants to see you. Who? Krishna! Anutama, to the puja. What, said Garuda? You dare to not come when Krishna wants to see you? I will burn you. And he jumped over Hanuman, took his claws, and just wanted to fly with him to Dwaraka. But Hanuman just took his tail like this and continued his puja. And Garuda wanted to go again. Not possible. Finally, Hanuman, it was getting too much for him, just threw him back to Dwaraka with his tail. And Garuda then, before Krishna, this has never happened to him. He doesn't want to come, said Garuda. I can't do anything. Krishna said, then tell him Ram calls him. Really? Really. So Garuda went again and said, Hanuman, and he kept a safe distance this time. Hanuman, Garuda, Ram is calling you. Who? Ram! Hanuman just interrupted whatever he was doing and jumped and bounded, jumped to Dwaraka. Garuda couldn't follow so quick. At this time, Krishna was there and he told Balaram, quickly, don't ask any question. Turn into Lakshman, and he turned into Ram. Then he said to Satyabhama, Satyabhama is a little left wing in her mind, please don't ask any question. Become Sita. Why? All right, and Krishna went to Rukmini, please, you become into Sita. Rukmini is a little bit more right wing. So he immediately, okay, if your desires, he became Sita. So then Hanuman had already landed. And he was standing before his lordship with tears of ecstasy in his eyes. Is there anything you want to see and want me to do? No, said Ram, I just wanted to see you. Oh, thank you very, very much. Then they embraced again. So this is how single-mindedly Hanuman's devotion is. And we are actually encouraged to follow Hanuman in the sense that when you fix your mind on Krishna, love him with all your heart. Krishna doesn't like if you put your love in so many worldly things. He wants it all. All your love he wants to go in this direction. This is called Ekanti Bhakti, and Hanuman is the ideal example of this. When he appeared in Ram in Chaitanya Lila, he appeared as Murari Gupta. The devotees told him, please, you fix your mind on Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has appeared to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is a glorification of Radha Krishna. But Murari Gupta tried the whole night. In the morning he said, my dear Lord, you say I must fix my mind on Radha Krishna, but there's only Ram, Ram, Ram in my mind from morning till evening. I can't do it. Now I will commit suicide because you told me I must worship Radha Krishna. I can't do it. I'm useless. I will commit suicide. But Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He embraced him. He took a pen or something and wrote in big letters, Ram Das. You are actually Hanuman from the last life. You can't fix your mind on anyone else. It's all right. No more minutes? I was just now very upset. So Hanuman said, I can't go. I want to request your attention to look at this. Hanuman is definitely a very accomplished bhakta, but he has respect from Krishna's, of Krishna's highly esoteric and confidential lila. See, we Westerners should learn from this. Very often we want to immediately run to Radha Kund, to stay at the most holy places. We want to follow the most the highest forms of bhakti, Radha Nuga Bhakti. We want to have the highest mantras. We change, for this we are prepared to even do a modern thing which is new in ISKCON. It's called guru hopping. We hop from one guru to the other, and so on. We are prepared to do any crazy thing in the world, to just storm into areas for which we might not be qualified. We have to qualify ourselves. Then we will come there into these areas by invitation. You can't even break into normal discourse if you are not properly dressed. How can you ever come into the high realms of bhakti if you are not properly qualified? Hanuman is giving us an example. Of course you can go to see Lord Krishna, no problem. But he gives us an example so that we don't make the mistake of being prepared to do any crazy thing to get something which is way beyond of us. Hare Krishna. It's a little religious polemics. We will go quickly into the story again. Hanuman says, let me stay here. I will be absorbed in chanting Ram Nam. But I give you one tip. When you go to the Pandavas Narada Muni, do not measure the Pandavas with your perspectives. They are on such a high level of bhakti. Don't think because you and me are brahmacharis and the Pandavas are householders, they are lesser than you. Don't allow that your intelligence gets covered by this illusion that you are more than the householders, than the Pandavas householders who are engaged in political affairs. You must know Maharaj Yudhishthira has nothing in this world. Life, family, kingdom, he has all given to Krishna. Hastinapur. And when he arrived at Hastinapur, he saw a wonderful city. People were walking with great happiness on the street. People chanted Krishna's holy names. Maharaj Yudhishthira had made sure that all his citizens were enlightened and on a very high level of consciousness. He passed the guards of the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthira. But they were not surprised because the greatest devatas and the greatest devotees would regularly come and see the Pandavas. When he, however, arrived at the court of Maharaj Yudhishthira, do you know court where the king sits with his throne? He saw a pathetic scene. Yudhishthira looked very serious. There was a divine effulgence around him. He had big lotus eyes, but he felt very restless. And he was discussing with his minister about one subject matter only. He was discussing how to bring Krishna back to Hastinapur. Krishna was in Dwaraka. Yudhishthira, only political thought was, how can we bring him back? We want to be with him. We die in his absence. He was such a devotee. When it was announced, Yudhishthira went up, saw Narada Muni. He said, Narada Muni, you have saved our life. You are a great devotee of Krishna. Krishna is always with you. Please come, sit down. Sit down. But a sitting place. Narada Muni was just waiting. He smiled. Then the Yudhishthira came with a big puja plate and he wanted to offer puja, but Narada Muni jumped up. You Pandavas are the greatest. I will not accept puja from you. And then he took the puja plate and he offered puja to the Pandavas. Then he offered puja to the friends of the Pandavas. And then he offered puja, puja means worship, to all the servants and the maidservants of the Pandavas. And then he said, Krishna is your messenger. Krishna is your charioteer. For Brahma and Shiva, it is very difficult to realize Krishna. But Krishna, as your friend, sleeps on the same bed as Arjuna. Krishna has many incarnations, Matsya, Varaha, and so on. But he is the origin of all these incarnations. And this Krishna comes and becomes your messenger and charity. Material nature is only an insignificant maidservant of Krishna. This is the Lord who controls the whole material energy. He is your servant. He does what you want to do him. Krishna, and then Narada Muni begins to talk about Krishna, to highlight how special the relationship, how special the Pandavas are, who are so close to Krishna. He says many, many things, and I will only say two things here for you. He said, when Krishna came to the battlefield of Guru Kshetra after the battle to perform a ceremony, all the rishis of the universe had come to see Lord Krishna. Vasishtha was there, Gautama Rishi was there. They all kneeled down before Krishna and said, we are full of jnana. This is so dry. We know so much, but we have no devotion in our heart to you. Please give us devotion to you. When Narada Muni speaks for the first time about Vrindavan, we will hear much about Vrindavan, but here we just hear a drop of Vrindavan nectar. In Vrindavan, Krishna is there in an ocean of devotion. By his mercy, the trees, plants, and all other immovable objects travel to various places in ecstasy due to the mercy of Krishna. Krishna, in other words, is the Lord of love, the Lord of ecstasy, and this Lord has become your servant. You are the greatest of all bhakta. And then Narada Muni gets more ecstatic, but we have to make a pause here. Otherwise it gets too ecstatic for us. We will talk about the extraordinary mercy of Lord Krishna, and I will interrupt my katha here, because it gets late and I want to stop every day at 9 o'clock. You don't have to go immediately, but we will stop our discussion here tomorrow. I will start, for the first time in the seminar, to talk directly about Krishna's mercy. Now we have only heard indirectly about Krishna's mercy by discussing various devotees and their ecstatic relationships to Krishna. But tomorrow we will enter deep into the secret of Krishna's mercy, and we will think also tomorrow deeply about how Krishna has shown us mercy. I want to request all of you to think during the evening and maybe tomorrow before the seminar about this question: where in your life you have seen some mercy of Krishna coming your way, your personal way, coming into your life like a ray of the sun and transforming some of your life. Please, this will be good if you think about this, then you will be able to understand more about some extraordinary features of Krishna's Leelas. I want to now say something private also. I'm very happy. Slowly our sessions begin to work on your heart. You look at me very attentively and you look very thoughtful. Yes, I have invited you to come with me these evenings into a holy space. A holy space where we discuss directly from scripture about Krishna and his devotees, and by this discussion an energy field sounds very technical. I would say an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness begins to be established in our heart, and this will be very, very good. I can at the end, I will tell you some things which I cannot tell at this moment because I would again disturb the flow. But it's very powerful and very good what we do to hear about this kata, and it will definitely change us. So I wish you a nice night. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Radha Kanya Bihari ki jai. Shri Narada Muni ki jai. The five Pandavas ki jai, Hanuman ji ki jai, go Premanandi Hari Hari Go. Please forgive me if I become a little temperamental. So I want to welcome all my guests who have not been here for the three days of seminar. What we are doing here is something totally different than seminars you are accustomed to. We are not listening today with our intelligence, but with our heart. We are not trying to understand and analyze, but we are trying to experience what the direct talk of Krishna, which is certainly very wonderful and will give us many, many new things for understanding, what this talk will do with us, how it will affect us, our heart. Yes, before we can start, it counts as if there is some rock concert just in the cellar 5,000 kilometers under the earth, and if we can only hear the bass. So I think it Sundarananda, it must be the ventilation or something which they have. We didn't have it all these other days, so I think it is maybe. Does Sundarananda, do you hear me? You already there. You can just tell them they can open the ventilation in the pause. This, not now, no need. The subject matter of this seminar is the mercy of Krishna to his different devotees. Narada Muni, the great saint, is visiting different devotees of Lord Krishna in different parts of the universe. And he wants to find out what is the mercy Krishna has shown to them. So, no, please, because I cannot always stop and go, please listen to me one time and don't run immediately because you hear only half of it. Somewhere there is a ventilation on,
for the hotel, and it sounds as if the Rakshasas make a rock concert underneath the earth, and we only hear the bass, because that's usually very strong. So all these other times we didn't have the ventilation because we didn't need it, and I think now they want to be specially kind on us and they have put the ventilation on. They just need to switch it off, and in the past they can have it. They mean it well, they're very nice people. You just have to tell them, no need of the ventilation. Do you hear it? It's like...
Just behind you there was a big refrigerator that's off, and
that's not it. Put it off, yes. It must be the ventilation of the hall. And you can tell them it was not on for the other parts. They mean it very well. They are very kind. They want us to give some nice air, which is a good idea if the ventilation works. Hare Krishna. Good. So, coming back, two times. Now we will start for sure, and nothing will stop us. Not even if the monsoon starts in this hotel. Narada Muni has visited different devotees. The last one he visited was Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Rama. And Hanuman, who had served Lord Rama so well during the time when Sita was gotten back, Hanuman has directed Narada Muni to the Pandavas. He said, I have not gotten any mercy, but the Pandavas are constantly in association with Krishna. Go to the Pandavas and find out how much mercy they have obtained. So when Narada Muni goes to the Pandavas, he sees how they just have a meeting with all the ministers, and this meeting is about one subject. They want to get Krishna to visit them in the capital town, Hastinapur. Hastinapur is where Delhi is nowadays, and some say you can still see the old walls of the palace of the Pandavas. So Narada Muni goes to the Pandavas and begins to praise the Pandavas because they have so much direct association with Krishna, that Krishna has agreed to become the charioteer, the driver of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He has personally helped Yudhishthira to become the king of the world, and he is always seen at the court of the Pandavas. Now, Narada Muni now explains a little bit about Krishna and what types of mercy he gives to different devotees. He said, even the demons get Krishna's mercy. Look at Kamsa, how much mercy he got from Krishna. When he died, the Lord put his lotus feet on his chest, and his moon-like face was directly in front of Kamsa. We all know that people who want to, at the last moment of their death, they know that they have to now concentrate on Krishna, and in meditation they try to bring Krishna in their mind. But Kamsa was a demon, and Krishna nevertheless came to him at the last moment of his earthly existence. There are two Rakshasa wrestlers, Chanura and Mushtika. Their aim was to break every bone in the soft body of Lord Krishna and rip him to pieces. But Krishna wrestled with them, and during wrestling with them, he embraced Chanura and Mushtika like his best friend. This is how merciful he is. After killing Kamsa, Chanura and Mushtika, Krishna personally performed the funeral rite, and he wiped the tears from the eyes of Kamsa's wives. to give them comfort. When Krishna went to the demon Jarasandha to beg him for a fight, he extolled Jarasandha and said, "You are a supporter of the Brahminical culture." And even the demoness Putana, who came to kill Lord Krishna, was blessed by Lord Krishna and liberated from her earthly existence, so that in her next life she became one of the vet nurses of Lord Krishna. She became actually a gopi in Goloka Vrindavan, where she was personally taking care of Lord Krishna and breastfeeding him. There were many gopis who breastfed Lord Krishna. And Narada Muni said, "Look at Krishna's mercy to the demon Kaliya." Kaliya was a multi-headed snake who came to poison the river Yamuna. But Krishna came to Kaliya, jumped on the head of Kaliya, and danced the Rasa dance on his head. You know, Krishna danced and jumped from head to head. The head wanted to capture Krishna, but Krishna laughed. He jumped on the head and danced. And look at the two lusty demons, Nala Kuvera and Mani Kriva, who had enjoyed with hundreds of women bathing naked in the river with them. They were cursed to become trees, but they were trees in Lord Krishna's house. They were actually able, as trees, to see how Krishna climbed on them, how the lotus feet which are of Lord Krishna, which are looked after many, many, many years by yogis, touched them. They saw the childhood pastime. The mercy of Krishna is inconceivable, said Narada Muni. There is a demon, Agasura, who wanted to swallow Krishna, and Krishna did him the favor. He walked right in the mouth of Agasura and expanded there. Then Narada Muni became ecstatic and had to interrupt. He said, "Tong, you are speaking such wonderful things about Krishna. You are the best tongue in the universe." And he started to glorify his tongue for a moment. "Go on speaking the glories now of the Pandavas." And then Narada Muni continued. He said, "Your mother Kunti Devi is the most glorious mother. She accepted the burden of taking care of you because you, my dear Pandavas, who have constant contact with Krishna, are so dear to Krishna that Kunti Devi thought, I will do everything to take care of the Pandavas." And when Krishna glorified Yudhishthira, he said, Narada Muni said, "Krishna helped Yudhishthira, the oldest of the Pandavas, to become the king of the world. Krishna helped Bhima in his fight with Jarasandha. And Krishna made Arjuna the instrument to win the Kurukshetra war. And Krishna was always present in the hearts of Nakula and Sahadev, who were so sweet by their unmotivated love." He said, "Krishna arranged that Yudhishthira made the biggest offering or sacrifice, which is called the Rajasuya sacrifice. I may have to explain the sacrifice to you. The Rajasuya sacrifice is done by whoever is the king of the world. Nowadays, no one makes the Rajasuya sacrifice, because as soon as someone would say, I'm the king of the world, everyone would try to kill him. in the old times, anyone who wanted to make a Rajasuya sacrifice and proclaim himself to be the king would send a horse, the challenge horse, all over wandering freely. And whoever did not wish to accept the person who wanted to make the Rajasuya offering could capture the horse, and this would mean, I'm taking your horse. If you want to take it back, you have to fight with me, and we can see who is superior. So after this had been done, the challenging horse had been sent all over the world, and no one had objected to Yudhishthira making this sacrifice. And the sacrifice was done. Now Narada Muni said, Yudhishthira only wanted to make the sacrifice which proclaimed him to be the king of the world, to show that a devotee of Lord Krishna is worshipped by everyone. I think sometimes our devotees who are in prominent positions, like we have our Dayamayi amongst us, and we have a talented violin player amongst us, and we have Godan amongst us. It's good if they talk about Krishna consciousness so that others who see them understand. If you become a devotee, you're not becoming a loser, but you can become a devotee of Lord Krishna and be a prominent person in society. This is a service which they can do for Lord Krishna. So Yudhishthira did this. He wanted to show, I am a devotee and I am a king simultaneously. So everyone can become a devotee, so that you don't need to worry when you become a devotee that you lose your hair and lose everything. Narada Muni was getting so ecstatic by remembering all this that he said, go on, Tong, speak more, speak more. And then he remembered many different things involving the Pandavas. For instance, he said that once that Duryodhana wanted to bring problems to wanted to make problems to the Pandavas by sending them 50,000 yogis for the meal, main meal. That time the Pandavas had eaten and there was nothing left in the pots of Draupadi. Draupadi had three pots which would produce unlimited amounts of food, whatever you wanted, even pizza. But the moment she had eaten, the pot would stop their service. So Duryodhana knew that and waited until the Pandavas had eaten in the forest, and then he sent them 50,000 guests who he knew would become so angry if they wouldn't get any food. So when the 50,000 yogis came, the Pandavas said, we have nothing, but we cannot tell this to them because they will curse us. So they sent Bhima out to pick some berries in the forest. Then they called out, Krishna, please save us. We have 50,000 guests who will curse us if we can't feed them. And Krishna at that time came and he said, I'm so hungry. Draupadi, do you have something? Draupadi said, no, I have 50,000 hungry guests. That's all what I have. Oh, please look in the pot, said Krishna. There must be something. And when Draupadi, she just gave up all worries and picked a little curly flower which was still sticking to the wall of the pot and gave that to Lord Krishna. Now when Krishna ate that, he was so satisfied by the love of his devotees, and his satisfaction spread everywhere. That means every creature in the world was immediately satisfied. So when Krishna came and called the yogis, when Bhima came and called the yogis to sit down and dine, dine air, there was only air, the yogis had already run away because they felt so puna, so full, that they thought, we cannot eat any, not even a little berry we can eat. So in this way, Krishna had saved the Pandavas by satisfying the 50,000 yogis. This is how dear the Pandavas are to Lord Krishna. And then Narada Muni continued to say, when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on his deathbed, dying, Krishna personally came to him. Why did he give such an honor to Grandfather Bhishma? The reason is that Bhishma was a well-wisher to the Pandavas. He was related to the Pandavas. And then he said, all of the Pandavas are devotees and their family members are also devotees. Prahlad Maharaj could only make Bali a devotee. Hanuman has no family members because he is a brahmachari. But the Pandavas are such devotees that all their family members are devotees. Krishna therefore has declared, he who is a friend of the Pandavas is my friend. But he who is an enemy of the Pandavas is my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life. I have appeared on this in this world only for the sake of the Pandavas. Yudhishthira was silent for some time. He held his head between his hands. Then all of a sudden, he let loose a terrible sight. Sight means like and his head was hanging down in terrible embarrassment. Finally he could speak. His voice was trembling. Lord Hari has shown no mercy to me. When I try to think at a single instance where Krishna showed me mercy, I cannot find this single instance. I cannot remember anything. A devotee is meant to serve the mission of his Lord by attracting others to the service of the Lord. But anyone who hears about the miseries we Pandavas went through will have no inclination whatsoever to ever serve Krishna. you follow his logic. Once, I have some quotation here. I hope I can find it for you. Narada Muni was actually speaking to Krishna about this. He was saying to Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, your devotees, they suffered so much. They have not won anything by becoming your devotees. So I want to see if I can find this for you. I'm sorry, I'm not really prepared for this, but yes, here. Prabhupada said, Krishna is so nice. He is all attractive. He hypnotizes his devotees. The Pandavas were Krishna's friend. And Kunti happened to be the aunt of Krishna. So they were well established in their relationship to Krishna. But as a result, they were banished for 12 years into the forest. They lost the game. They were banished. Their wife Draupadi was insulted. They could not, but the other party wanted to make Draupadi naked. They lost their kingdom. So one day Narada Muni met Krishna and spoke with a little criticism. My dear Sir Krishna, by becoming your devotees, the Pandavas are very happy. They lost kingdom. their wife was insulted. They were banished. But despite these inconveniences, they have only increased their love for you. So Narada was astonished. What kind of hypnotism have you, Krishna? This is Krishna consciousness. The pure devotee is put into difficulty, but they say it's Krishna's grace. I was meant to suffer 100 times more than this due to my bad activities in my past life. I'm suffering, but you are only giving me a little. So Yudhishthira is now saying, we should serve you, Krishna, by attracting others. But anyone who will hear about the 5 Pandavas will think, oh, I never come close to Krishna. Krishna is like a fire. Better not to come too close. I do not mind the calamities, said Yudhishthira, or the miseries. But how? What will people think? When Krishna accepted our Raja Surya sacrifice, he only wanted to show the need of sacrifice. He didn't do it because of us. He did it to instruct the others. And then Yudhishthira cried, I'm a fish. I'm a fish who needs the water of Krishna. This would be a nice song. I'm a fish who needs the water of Krishna. Now Krishna is gone. I would prefer to be back in the forest without any kingdom, but to exist without Krishna is like suicide for me. Everything is so nice now. Our enemies are killed. But Krishna is not there. Therefore it's terrible what we experience. You say Krishna acts as our servant and as our messenger. But he only did this out of duty, to absolve some debt which he felt he had to us Pandavas. Now Bhima begins to speak. Bhima, remember, is very heavy. There are 5 Pandavas brothers, and whenever they get any food, this is what they do with the food. They divide it in 2 halves. One half goes to the 4 Pandava brothers, and the other half goes to Bhima. This Bhima is so heavy that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he fought with his club, he ripped out the heart of the living Dushasan, and everyone turned away from the battlefield and said, thank you, we don't want to fight any longer, this is too much. We have a nervous breakdown now, we can't fight any longer. Bhima is so heavy. Now Bhima speaks, and please hear how he speaks. Bhima speaks, whenever he speaks and has emotion in the heart, he speaks in a very loud voice. It's almost like thunder. And Bhima was, Krishna is the source of all illusion. He gave us the throne, and we thought it was a blessing, but it's Krishna's curse. And then Bhima just sat down and cried. So now Parikshit Maharaj, who tells all of this to his mother Uttara, just a few moments before he passes to the spiritual world, now looks at Uttara and says, then my grandfather, Arjuna, my grandfather has lotus eyes, and they were full with tears, and he wiped the eyes again and again and again. Then he sighed, then he spoke, a devotee's heart is to give pleasure to Krishna. But what did I do? I gave pain to Krishna. Krishna protected me at the battle of Kurukshetra. He fought with grandfather Bhishma when Bhishma attacked me with arrows. At that time Krishna jumped towards Bhishma, and the arrows of Bhishma
went into the body of my Lord. What I meant, what I made Krishna go through, I cannot explain it. I cannot pull this arrow out of my heart that Krishna suffered for me, taking the arrows which were meant for me on his body. What devotee I am. I am the versest of the demons.
People say, oh, Arjuna is very, very special because Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna.
But why did Krishna speak the Gita to me? Because I was so stubborn and I didn't want to fight. I'm not glorious. He needed to preach to me when he needed me for some seva. I didn't want to do it.
The Gita is only the result of my unwillingness to serve my Lord. Yes, we fought. Yes, we won. But then, Krishna just left us. Goodbye. And he went to another place. When I think of the Gita, it brings me only sorrow. People may become happy by hearing the Gita. I am sad like anything. Then Nakula and Sahadev began to speak, and they were crying. They said, Krishna saved us from so many dangers. When we needed him, he expanded himself and was there in the forest. He came, we don't know from where he came. He just appeared amidst us. He expanded our fame. But this is not his mercy. His mercy is when we could be with Krishna and do festivals for him. But now he has left us. See, Nakula and Sahadev always arranged big festivals for Krishna. But Krishna was not there, and therefore they were disturbed. Then Draupadi spoke. Krishna saved me. When my father was killed in the battle, when my brother was killed, when my five sons were killed, Krishna sat next to me. He said, oh Draupadi, all things must pass. Don't cry. All things must pass. Don't cry. And he consoled me. But now he is not there with us. He's in Dwaraka. I have no mercy of Krishna. Then Kunti started to speak. And she's the last one. My children were tiny. But he showed me more mercy than his parents. But now, no mercy. He is gone. I pray to Krishna, take everything away. Kingdom, wealth, riches. As long as I have you, I am satisfied. But what did Krishna do? He took himself away. He went to Dwaraka. And now I'm here with millions of riches, chariots, an army of maidservants. But I am not happy as long as Krishna is gone. Oh, if Krishna shows me mercy, then let him make me die on this minute. Then he said, oh Narada, don't stay with us any longer. This is too miserable for you. Go to the Yadavas in Dwaraka. Krishna is always staying together with them as a family member. They are the beloved of Krishna. They live in the bliss of Krishna Sangha. But if you associate with us, you will be dragged down in an ocean of misery and die. Now, we are almost making the pause, but I would say to you, although we have heard about the sorrow of these devotees, it is the greatest bliss. What these devotees do really is, from morning till evening, They meditate in Krishna, about Krishna, who is separated from them. And because Krishna is not different from his meditation, and someone so intensely meditates with Krishna, about Krishna, he embraces Krishna in the heart always. And you will ever come into the situation where you long for Krishna very much, and you have nothing else which satisfies you. You say, no, no, I don't want any money. I don't want any wealth. I don't want any followers. If you have come to the state where you only want Krishna, then your desire is like a laser going through everything in this world, then Krishna will come in your heart and embrace you. For our eyes, yes, it may appear like misery, but it is something different. I want to give you an example from Sanatana Goswami. Sometimes when you touch very cold ice, it appears as if this is a strong fire. But this is not true. It is very cooling. So in the same way, the separation which these great devotees feel from Lord Krishna appears to be something which it is not. It appears like misery, but it is actually the greatest bliss. We are told about this, taught about this feelings of separation. Why? Because the easiest form of association with Krishna in this world is not to think, oh, I have Krishna, but it is, Krishna, where are you? If you have this feeling, you will meet Krishna everywhere. And there is the example of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, who ran around in Vrindavan saying, Krishna, are you under the at the Yamuna River, or are you at the Vansivata tree? Once Rupa Goswami was in this mood, sitting at the Yamuna, where are you, Govinda, where are you, where are you? All of a sudden, there was a little voice. The boy said, why are you crying? This is Vrindavan. This is not the place to cry. It's the place to be happy. Ah, what do you understand? I'm looking for Govinda. Oh, you look for Govinda, said the boy. I have seen a place. Every day, a cow comes there and puts her milk from the udders into this hill. Why don't you look in this hill? Maybe there you find Govinda. The boys, and the Rupa Goswami said, yes, of course, where, show me. And the boy led him to a hill, and they saw from the air a Surabhi cow coming. It came on the hill and gave all her milk in the hill. There was divine music. Rupa Goswami looked at the little boy. The little boy smiled and disappeared. Shoop. Rupa Goswami looked to the Surabhi cow. She finished it at milk bath and then disappeared. Rupa Goswami thought, oh no, this was Govinda, show me Govinda. And he brought some people and the spade, and they dug the earth. And the first thing they found was a little finger like this. And then they dug more, and they uncovered the beautiful deity of Govinda, which had been made by the grandson of Lord Krishna, Vrajanabhad, and which had been undiscovered for a long time. And in this way he was discovered. So this feeling of separation means Krishna is coming. In this world, when we feel separated, there are so many love songs. I know one love song, it goes like this. graceless lady, you know who I am, why have you left me, and so on and so forth. And then I don't want to, to make the atmosphere material. You know, there are millions of love songs who end like this. It is really misery and misery and misery. But in Krishna consciousness, we need to understand, if we long for Krishna, Krishna is there within the longing. Mm-hmm. Narada Muni understands all these things and thinks, so the Pandavas are very fortunate. They're just meditating about Krishna. Krishna's in their heart. When he hears that Krishna is together, during his appearance in Dwaraka with the Yadavas, he becomes very blissful and says, Ayurvo, let's go to Dwaraka. And he takes his Veena, plays, and happily flies to Dwaraka. And what he sees here is so wonderful that we need to make a little pause to digest what we have heard. We will make now a 20-minute pause, and please be back for the final chapter of Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, part 1. So I want to welcome all of those who have so kindly joined us. We are now at the very, very last session of our seminar, which will come to a very ecstatic and totally surprising climax. Climax means? Yes. The last person to meet Narada Muni was Queen Kunti, the exalted mother of the world, who directed Narada Muni's search to the island of Dwaraka. It's a beautiful island before the coast of India, an island which was very spacious because it has 16,108 palaces. And it was in this island that Krishna was staying. Now, before I can tell you, I think yes. The people have come here because of the good atmosphere. They were not there before. But the atmosphere has become so nice that they also want to participate. They are still too shy to come on this side of the wall. So maybe Sundarananda or whoever, you can somehow maybe talk to the hotel owner that they don't need to be shy, they can come and stay with us, or if they prefer to have the party, they can do it in the lounge, do a moonlight lounge party somehow, but you must tell them that otherwise there will be a conflict of sound. I know the people of Zagreb are just so very, very nice, and wherever there's a dopa atmosphere, they also are there. But they may not know that we are, that this is a seminar, Haribol. All right, so we will continue. We shall invite them, huh? You can tell them there is a translation in Croatian. It's very easy to follow and it's very blissful. So, good. So, there is this island of Dwaraka where Krishna has made his earthly residence when he appeared. Krishna has not an ordinary residence. When God appears in this world, it will be extraordinary. There were 16,108 huge palaces, and Krishna had expanded himself in all these 16,108 palaces to have 16,108 family lives. So when Narada Muni comes finally to Dwaraka, the first thing which he perceives is the smell of the Parijata flower, a flower which Krishna had taken from the heavenly planets. It is a smell which is so totally intoxicating. I have been in Juhu, and there was a tree which was almost a Parijata tree, and I saw 50 cobras sleeping under the tree because they were totally intoxicated from this wonderful smell. But here in Dwaraka there are no cobras. There are the most amazing personalities, the Yadavas. So when Narada Muni came to the Yadavas, he praised them. He took out his veena, it's like this instrument, a stringed instrument, and he began to glorify the Yadavas and saying, "You are the most dearest devotees of Lord Krishna who've gotten the most of Krishna's mercy, because Krishna stays with you. He lives with you in the same town." So when this had happened, the Yadavas looked up to Narada Muni. "You are a saint. How can you say such nonsense? Krishna is always with his dear devotee Uddhava. He sometimes comes and sees us. If you want to see a devotee of Krishna who has gotten the mercy, you must see Uddhava. Uddhava is constantly thinking of Krishna, and because of constantly thinking of Krishna, he has the same color of body like Krishna. Whenever Krishna wants to do anything, he first asks Uddhava, 'What do you think, Uddhava? What should we do in this matter?' He is the personal advisor of Lord Krishna. Krishna only needs to move his eyes and Uddhava knows what is to be done. This is the greatest devotee. Go and don't waste your time with us. Go to Uddhava." So Narada Muni is totally out of control. He asks where Uddhava is, and they tell him one of the palaces, he's there. So Narada Muni walks through Dwaraka Street. He has gone there many, many times. He has seen the wonderful parks of Dwaraka. He has seen the roads which are made of marble. He has seen the wonderful palaces. But at this time, he has lost his sense of direction. He rolls on the ground towards the palace of Lord Krishna because he is so in ecstasy. I think you can imagine, if you come here rolling on the ground, it takes more time as if you walk. So Narada Muni took a long time before he finally arrived at this one particular palace of Lord Krishna. And there he went through many, many gates. It was a big palace, through many palace gardens, until finally he came to the inner chamber. There was a big terrace there, and then came Krishna's inner chamber, the sleeping room. Now on the terrace, he saw the most unusual meeting. He saw there were some queens of Krishna. There was Balaram, Krishna's brother. They have Rohini, who had been with Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, and there was Padmavati, the mother of King Kamsa, who lived in the palace of Krishna after Kamsa's son was died. Had died. Krishna took care of Padmavati, the mother of his arch enemy Kamsa. So that they were sitting on the ground, which is unusual for kings and queens, and they were discussing about Krishna. It's already 10 o'clock, they said, and Krishna has not yet come out of his sleeping room. There must be something which totally disturbs Krishna. He must have had a most terrible night. And then Rohini begins to speak. I know why Krishna is disturbed. His mind is not really in Dwaraka. His mind is in Vrindavan, where when he was young he heard of the cows. He called with his flute the gopis to dance with them in the Rasa Leela at night. There in Vrindavan, Krishna is dressed not like a king, but like a cowherd boy. And Lord Krishna there is engaged in joking and laughing and running about with his dear cowherd girlfriend, with whom he dances and with whom he sometimes steals butter. Yes, Rohini said. He goes to the houses of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and he breaks through the window and steals butter. And these inhabitants of Vrindavan have only made the butter for Krishna to steal. But they pretend and do as if this would be the most criminal act. They just pray from morning till evening. Narayan, make that Krishna comes to my house and steals my butter. But when Krishna comes, they capture him, try to capture him and say, you steal butter, I will tell your mother. In this way, they have the most amazing place. Krishna is not happy here as a king. He wants to go back to that place where the Yamuna River flows and where the pollen of saffron and lotus is making the air pregnant with joy. And he wants to be together with Srimati Radharani, whom he loves very much. This is why Krishna is crying. He is not happy here. This is why Krishna couldn't sleep the night. At this moment, the mother of Kamsa says, nonsense! These people in Vrindavan, what did they do with Krishna? They made him herd cows. They made him a slave. They didn't even give him shoes. He had to go bare feet. And they didn't give him anything to eat. That's why he had to break into the Vrindavan. He wants to stay here. But this Rukmini, the dear queen of Krishna, says, I cannot tolerate what you say, Padmavati. Do you know what it means to sleep next to Krishna? And my lord and master, in the night dreams, he dreams only of Vrindavan. He says, cows, Davali, Hansi, Harini, these are the cows of Krishna. Come, come. Then he calls, where is my flute? Where's my flute? Who has stolen my flute? This was again Vishaka and Lalita, I know. Then the next thing he calls is, Sudama, Sudama, where are you? And sometimes he pulls at my sari. And when he looks at me, he turns around and cries, "Oh, you are not Radharani." This is Krishna's always with Vrindavan. At this moment Balaram says, "What you say is not true. I went to Krishna once and I said to Krishna, 'Do you know what happened to the people of Vrindavan after you left them? Do you know what happened to your friends? They are lying on the ground and crying. They can only live a few more days. Why don't you go to Vrindavan if you like the people of Vrindavan so much and save them?'" Krishna had said to me, "I will go, I will soon go, I will soon go. Go to them and tell them I will soon go." And I went, I said to the Vrindavan Vasis, "Don't cry." They looked at me, "Why?" "Krishna will soon come." "When?" "Soon." "And did Krishna come?" "No." I said to Krishna, "What are you doing to the inhabitants of Vrindavan? They want to drown themselves because you did not come to them. But the Yamuna ji is, the river is so sad that she has only become a trickle of water where you can't drown. Then they want to go on the top of the Govardhan hill to throw themselves on the ground. But the Govardhan hill itself is so sad that it has shrunken in the earth out of sadness. Why are you not going to them?" So Balaram continues and continues and continues. At this moment, Narada Muni sees what the others don't see. There is an indescribable light coming from the inner chambers of Krishna's rooms. Then Narada Muni sees the Lord of all Lords going as if he is a ghost. His beautiful eyes are wide open and there is an indescribable atmosphere of sweetness around him. Nobody sees him. Only Narada Muni sees Lord Krishna coming, and the atmosphere fills into a beautiful sweetness. And then all of a sudden, Krishna is leaning next to the pillar and he hears all of this. Before this, he had been under the bed and he had put his bed cover over him and he had cried, "Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, gopis, gopis, Radhe, Radhe." And then he had heard that they are talking about Vrindavan, and he comes and he leans, and his heart is so much moved. All of a sudden, he calls out, "Oh, Radhe, Radhe!" And everyone hears him and turns around and sees the most beautiful form, from whom waves of beauty come, leaning against the pillar. And they just see Lord Krishna and cannot talk any longer. Krishna talks and walks. Then he goes to Balaram. He holds Balaram on the shoulders and he cries, and both Balaram and Krishna sink to the ground and faint. At this moment, all the devotees begin to cry. The Lord of the universe is so unhappy. He thinks of his devotees in Vrindavan with tears of separation, and the whole universe begins to collapse. Ugrasena, the minister of Dwaraka, comes with his to see what is going on, and he is merging into this ocean of crying. Then Lord Brahma comes on his swan to see what's going on, and he sees his guru, the guru of the universe, the origin of the universe, lying on the ground and making everything wet with his ecstatic tears. And he knows this is dangerous now. The whole universe can collapse if God, the source of the universe, collapses. And he calls out to Garuda, who is standing there, this mystical eagle. Garuda! Garuda! Garuda is just crying. Shaking. Garuda! You have to do something. And he gives Garuda a sign. Garuda doesn't understand because he's just crying and he doesn't see. And and then Garuda understands. He comes with his wings, takes Krishna Balaram on his back and begins to move his powerful wings, flies high in the sky with Krishna Balaram. He flies them to a place which Brahma had indicated. This is a very special place which is kept very secret. No one really knows about this. It's a place in Dwaraka which is a replica of Vrindavan. Now we need to hear the word replica very clear. Replica means it is built exactly like Vrindavan. There are the same trees, there is a Govardhan hill, the different forests are all there in a replica. You can almost say it's like a Vrindavan Disneyland. I mean Disneyland is not really the word. You know what I mean. So Garuda flies there according to the plan of Lord Brahma. You see, these beings are very intelligent and they can just communicate through the mind. And all the information is there. Garuda puts Krishna down, Balaram down, and flies quickly away. At this moment, Vishvakarma comes and puts some Vrindavan cloth there and quickly disappears. Balaram wakes up and looks at Krishna, who is still there, fainted on the ground. He looks around. He sees some dhoti, a yellow dhoti, and he sees a flute, and he immediately understands. He quickly changes his dress into the dress of a cowherd boy, and then he changes Krishna's dress. He takes the crown away, the jewels and ornaments away, and soon Krishna is there in a yellow dhoti and a garland of forest flowers. And Krishna wakes up. Oh Balaram! Oh Vrindavan! Oh, I'm so relieved, Balaram! I had a nightmare. I was a king on an island. I killed many demons. I helped in the battle. I arranged the battle of Kurukshetra, where all the demons were taken from the world. But I'm so happy that this was only a dream. Wonderful! And then he looks at Balaram. It's a little late, huh? It was a long dream. So then he goes and he finds statues of his parents, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're just statues. And he goes before the statues and says, "Mother and father, don't worry. I'm very happy. I slept a little long, I know. Don't look so ecstatic." And then Krishna understands they don't speak to me, and he thinks this is because they are worried that I'm so late. And then in order to take the worry away from Yashoda, he sees Yashoda has, by Vishvakarma's arrangement, a little butter and sugar in the hand. He just goes like and takes it out from his mother's hand and eats it, and I'm soon back, I have to herd the cows. And then he goes And he plays his, he takes his flute and jumps carelessly with his flute, plays to the flowers and so on. And he's extremely happy, having totally forgotten all his duties as God. God is private, he is Krishna. So he plays, and then he sees some cows, and he sees Radharani and the gopis there, and he goes quickly to Radharani and says, I will meet with you in the evening, now I have to herd the cows. And then he sees Radharani is not saying anything, and he thinks Radharani knows that he had the dream that he was a king and is angry at him that he left Vrindavan. And he says, don't worry, it was just a dream. It was only a dream. Yeah, but it was a long dream. And then he runs and plays. And Krishna is so happy. Balaram sees all the sadness is gone from Krishna. Krishna is in sheer ecstasy. He is back in the Vrindavan mood. Then he says to Balaram, let's go to the Yamuna there in the back. Krishna has seen the ocean and comes closer to the ocean, and he hears the pounding of the ocean. Think, the Yamuna doesn't make this sound. And then he sees in the back the palaces of Dvaraka. Balaram, this is not Yamuna. There is Yamuna. There is Radha. There is Sudam. And Balaram thinks, oh no, now it starts again. Krishna is thinking of his devotees in Vrindavan. And he is, Balaram is very clever. He says, Lord of the Yadus. He doesn't call him Vrindavan Chandra or Vrindavan Nath or Radha Nath or Vrindavan names. Think of your devotees. They are attacked by the many demons who have appeared on this earth. You have appeared to save the earth from all these many demons. Krishna hears this and gets into conflicting roles. Balaram starts to preach anymore. Don't you see the miseries of Devaki and Vasudevs who have been captured by Kamsa? And he begins to tell all these things, and Krishna's mind turns from Vrindavan to the mission. You know Krishna's mission, why he has appeared? He has left the original Vrindavan, in this Goloka Vrindavan, and come to this earth to rid the earth of the influence of demons and to establish Dharma, the rules of religion. So Balaram reminds him of this. But when Krishna first appeared, he appeared in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, to not be too separated from what's going on there in this spiritual world. So Krishna gets in the role and says, where is my Sudarshan Chakra? And Balaram thinks, oh, good. Very, very good. And then Balaram comes to Krishna and says, very good, my Lord, that you are in this role, in this mood. Now we can go back to your palace. Yes, says Krishna. We must take care that the world is rid of demons. And then Krishna goes to the palace. So from this scene, I think you have understood who are the dearest devotees of Lord Krishna. These are the devotees who are bound to Krishna with selfless love, who do not wish anything of him, who do not worship him because he is God, but who worship him because he is Krishna, because he is their dear friend and their lover, and so on. Krishna sits down on the throne, and then he calls all his queens together, and he says, "My dear queens, today I want to tell you what is in my heart. You have sometimes wondered why I'm crying in the night, Vrindavan, Radhe, Sudama. It is because it is these devotees who love me the most. I have married all of you." Then he says, "Where is Satyajiti, Satyabhama? I want to make a meeting here, and she is not there." Satyabhama had not come because she felt jealous. She felt, "Oh no, Krishna is now talking of the people of Vrindavan again, and as if I'm not existent." And she had locked herself in a room where she was lying and just playing the offended one. "Bring Satyajiti," said Krishna. "I want to say what is in my heart, and she is not here." So they bring Satyajiti, Satyabhama, who's very, very ashamed. "Now I will speak something to you. I only have married all of you queens because you remind me of the gopis in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna." Do you know that there's a secret? The gopis in Vrindavan had once worshipped Katyayani to marry Krishna. So they appeared again in Dwaraka as the 16,000 queens whom Krishna then married, because Krishna could not marry the gopis, but he could marry them in a new form as queens of Dwaraka. So it's not an offense when he says, I thought the queens, I have only married you because you remind me of the gopis. They are the gopis of Vrindavan who have appeared in Dwaraka. Yes. Then Krishna talks about his heart. "There in Vrindavan, there I dance with my friends. There I heard the cows. Their mother says, 'Krishna, don't speak any lies to me. Have you eaten dirt, yes or no?' There I'm happy, because that is the ocean of prema, the ocean of love." So Krishna himself gives the answer, who are his dearmost devotees. Narada Muni has seen all this. He has seen how Krishna cried for the devotees in Vrindavan. Narada Muni has seen how Krishna explained to the cowherd, to the devotees of Dwaraka, where his heart is. And now he comes with a question. He says, "My dear Lord, I have a question. I have gone through the whole universe, and I have seen so many devotees. They all said they have no love for you. They all said they had no mercy for you. What is the actual fact?" Krishna smiles and said, "All these devotees are perfect in their relationship to me. All these devotees, one of them is sufficient to liberate the whole universe. But there are different forms of love. There is that love where the devotee is still attached to some knowledge about the Lord. There's this love where the devotee only wants to do service to me. And there is this love where the devotee is not interested in anything but love for its own sake. Each one of this devotee is in his own perfect relationship with me, in his own form of love, and he has reached all perfections. But still, there's perfect, there's perfecter, and there is more perfect. You know, there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect." This is there. "And of all the devotees, those who are bound to me in the uncomplicated, pure love of the people of Vrindavan, these are my highest devotees. Then Narada Muni says, wonderful, wonderful, your answer is very wonderful. Krishna said, Narada Muni, you are also very dear to me, and I want that you now ask me for any blessing. I'm so much in the mood to give blessings. What do you wish? And then Narada Muni says, I want that no one should ever get enough of your mercy. No one should ever get enough of your bhakti. And no one should ever get enough of pure love for you. What he means is, when the devotee is in the begins the process of bhakti yoga, all he needs is mercy. Do you agree? Without the potency of mercy, what will come out of us? We will remain ordinary people of Zagreb. When one is a little bit more advanced, all one wants is ample opportunity to perform one's bhajan, one's meditation about Krishna. So may such a devotee never get enough of your bhakti yoga or his personal bhajan. And the mature devotee is driven by only one desire, that is to taste more and more of that Krishna prema. So may no one ever get enough of your prema. And Krishna hears this. He says, Narada Muni, what kind of boon do you ask me for? This is the nature of my mercy, the nature of bhakti, and the nature of prema. One does not say one has enough, one wants more. Ask something else. This is already fulfilled. Krishna says, Narada Muni says, may you always be in Vrindavan, and may those devotees who wish that the Vrindavan Leela appears in their heart always meet you in this most wonderful form of yours as Braj Krishna. Narada, Krishna rises his hands and says, so be it, so be it. Anyone who wants my love in the way the inhabitants of Vrindavan want it, they will get it. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Now, we are almost at the end, but I have to say two more things. Yes. Narada, anyone who hears this story gets a blessing. So you, not from me, but I'm very weak, it is said Krishna gives a blessing to anyone who hears this story. There is, now let's say it now, anyone who takes shelter of this narration called Sri Brihad Bhagavatamritam with faith will quickly attain pure love for Lord Sri Krishna. I think you could feel when you were hearing about Krishna, oh, Krishna is so nice, Krishna is so wonderful, this is something much better than material life and Rajab depression. Woof, this is very good. So anyone who hears this gets this blessing. So you are very fortunate. We are very fortunate. And at the very end, I want to summarize some relevant teachings from this narration. There are actually two points which Sanatana Goswami wishes to express in this narration. And if you can catch these two points and make them your own basis in life, your life will very good, will be very good. The first is, glorify Vaishnavas. Have a good relationship with the devotees of the Lord. Even if they are simple, just the fact that they try sincerely to become Krishna conscious makes them wonderful people in this world who certainly have gotten the mercy of Krishna. Let us serve these Vaishnavas and on the other and encourage them and never criticize them. This is the first teaching. The second teaching is all these Vaishnavas, whom we have heard about, had taken shelter in the absence of Krishna, in Krishna. What I mean to say is, these Vaishnavas were constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord in the absence of Lord Krishna. And in this way, they were together with Krishna, because Krishna and Krishna are not different. It is the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are not different. And on Saturday, we want to try to experience this a little bit. I mean, we can't force Krishna to appear, but if we are coming in our best consciousness, ready to take part in the great yajna or sacrifice of chanting the holy name, I think we can have a wonderful experience. We have today been in the hall and looked at all the strategic places for the Nam Yajna. It's an experience, as you know. So please let us all come. And I want to request all of you to not come empty-handed. Every one of you should bring at least one flower. We want flowers. Please bring one flower with you, or two, or three, or whatever. And tell the others we want to have. There's some special plan which we have. I cannot tell you now. And we want to do a wonderful Nam Yajna and see a little and try to dive into the chanting of the holy name as much as we are presently able on our present stage of Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, I'm finished now. The role of the storyteller is over. I want to thank you very much for coming. It was the first time I really gave this seminar in the English language, and I beg forgiveness for any mistakes which I have done in the sentence of. You noticed sometimes I was not so sure how to go about, because I had to make some shortcuts through the story, but I have tried my best to put all the important elements in there and to remain true to the mood of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So thank you very much for being with me. I also want to thank my technician, Tomislav. He had to struggle with the technique, and now it's really nice. And our Brahmana, Venu Gopal, who with his purity, I don't want to embarrass him, but he did very nice artics. And the organizer is our Sundarananda and Ripuha Prabhus. And Ripuha was our musical man. it needed two times to remind him, but finally he was there. I very much would like to thank our talented translator Stavavali, who is just I know what it means to translate simultaneously. It is sheer torture for someone who has to do it. So now Stavavali can rest peacefully. She has survived another marathon. I also want to thank our Goran. It was his idea that we go into this hotel. Somehow he brings me to all the places where he is. And so on. And he took care. He really took care. He financed the whole thing. So it was very wonderful of him to do such a thing. And anyone else which I have forgotten? It's so difficult to remember everyone. Yes, Adya has driven us yesterday through the town of Zagreb. I felt very excited to be You know, I want to try to say thank you to everyone, but it's not possible. So I remember even someone who drives through the town. In parting, I want to say it was very, very nice of me to be here and do this seminar. I really like to do this more often, to just talk about Krishna. This is, I think you can also hear, this is where my heart is, really. Yes. Okay, so please come back to on Saturday to the Naam Yagya. When do we start and where is it? Sundarananda, maybe you would like to say it so that you can all come. And you can tell your friends as well. But please, this is really like an insider meeting. Don't bring the most skeptical person of the universe. He will not be able to enjoy it. I'm thinking we have to do two types of programs. One is for the newcomers, like the Sunday program, where we have a lot of culture and so on.